Welcome to the Voice of Freedom, a ministry of Ground Up Grace, where the daily message frees you for forgiven living.
Freedom for forgiven living is grounded at the cross, where Jesus takes all your sins upon himself and gives you, in exchange, his abounding grace. Let's listen together and see where his grace frees us today.
It's Friday, May 15th. Verses are from Deuteronomy 26, verse 7, and Luke 18, verse 7. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. Will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them?
So these two verses reflect a God who hears and a God who sees. And we have this, of course, in the book of Exodus, when God calls Moses to come before him in the burning bush. And God says these words to Moses. Moses, who's a fugitive, was running away from his problems. God says, I have seen the misery of my people. I have heard their cry. I'm concerned about them. I'm going to come down to rescue them. And I want to bring them into a land which they never could have imagined would be the right place for them. So we have this picture, and that's actually a foreshadowing in Exodus 3 of what then happens. God comes, they're rescued from the Egyptians, they have their wanderings in the wilderness, and then they receive the gift of the land that was promised to them.
That was the land of milk and honey. I recall that as a child, having that image of a land of milk and honey, and now realizing it's Israel, this place of Canaan, where people had abundance, they had ability to grow crops and live in a land that gave them something that they had never seen before, and they were free.
That was the most important thing. They were not slaves. They got to a place where they were free. Now this picture of God who hears and sees also ties us back to the name of Ishmael. You remember Abraham's wife Sarah was complaining that she couldn't have a baby, and she said to Abraham, maybe you should take Hagar to be your wife, hoping that he would argue with her. And he said to her, whatever you want, dear, I'll submit to your authority, which wasn't really the answer she was hoping for at the time, but in any case, Hagar became Abraham's wife, actually, not just a mistress. She became his wife. Well, then, after she got pregnant, this made Sarah angry, which you can understand why, a little jealousy, and Hagar is running away. Well, the angel of the Lord meets her in the wilderness. The angel of the Lord, God meets us in the wilderness all the time, doesn't he? In places of our destitution, in places where we're crying out to him. And God speaks to her. I've learned these things from my friend Tassada, who himself is a great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchild of Ishmael. And the name God gives to Ishmael, and the name means God hears. But then the miraculous thing is Hagar names God. The first time God is named in the Bible comes from Hagar. Genesis 16, she says, you are the God who sees me. She saw God face to face like Moses. Now that's powerful.
She had a strong identity then as one of God's children.
Yeah.
But in spite of that identity, Sarah kicked her out of the house with Ishmael.
Later on after he was born, he's about 12 years old.
And then she was banished off into the wilderness where she wandered.
Yeah, so the circumstances of following our Lord do not lead to security, peace, well-being in the way that we measure it from the perspective of wealthy retirement communities, but really from the point of a wealth that comes from the experience of knowing that God knows you, understands you, is with you, that the heart of God is upon you. This is so vital to us, and this is why these verses mean so much, because we are afflicted in this world. Things don't go well. Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble. But we have cheer because Jesus is with us. We heard it in yesterday's reading. Christ Jesus is in you. It was even a part of the imagery that we have on Mother's Day, that the heart of God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? So in the midst of our turmoil and travail, we have this assurance that God hasn't abandoned us. God isn't sort of waiting on the other side. God is with us in the midst of our difficulty and adversity.
And we wait and long for things to be made right. We have an agony inside of us,
yes,
a goan, that reaches the depth sometimes of frustration and pain because we want things to change.
Exactly.
And when they don't change, and you think of all the very oppressed people throughout the ages who have suffered and gone on. I think of a Jewish prisoner of war in the camps in Germany who wrote on a wall, "I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when not feeling it. I believe in God, even when he's silent." This is the agony of all the oppressed people, and we have it as well.
And the promise that we also have is we have one who shares our agony with us. That is the meaning of Jesus, his death on the cross. There is no agony that is not known to him. He's been through it all. He shares it all with us. And he brings his consolation and support to us in the midst of ours. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, open my ears to the cry of your chosen, the afflicted. So many suffer violence and injustice in too many places. Too many lives are injured or ended before they can reach the fullness you intend. Let me be part of your justice and help instead of being part of the delay or the problem. Arm me with your love. Amen.
Our benediction is upon you today. Whatever your daily grind may be, know that you are grounded in the grace of Jesus Christ.
Yes, I am.